Amen. He is among us, which is the title of the December series that I'm going to be speaking all month long over our lives and into our families. Our series theme is going to be very simply, God among us. Can y'all say that with me? Just say, God among us. What a great Christmas theme. But this morning, I'm very, very excited to begin this series entitled, God Among Us. This month, in all of the messages and the teaching and the preaching on Sundays and Wednesdays, all of the messages, I'm going to be focused on one theme, and we're just going to be talking about my favorite subject. I'll be emphasizing Jesus. This season is all about Jesus. How many of y'all have ever heard that old axiom, that Jesus is the reason for? I think he's the reason for all the seasons. Come on. But this morning, I want to begin with just the scriptural foundation for the theme of the month. And so he is here among us. And I want us to make sure that as his children, as the body of Christ, and I'm speaking primarily to believers this morning in discipleship and training and encouragement. But I want us to make sure that we understand his faithfulness to be among us, to be with us, the effects of his presence in our life. And during this Christmas season, my goal in speaking to all of us is to draw us closer into the presence of Christ, to increase our faith and to help us all to cultivate our commitment to a relationship with him. Sometimes in the church body, we need to go back and realize that it's not all about doing stuff, it's about knowing him. Okay, we do the stuff because we love him and we know him, but this thing has got to be about a relationship with Jesus. So in this Christmas season, as we get started this morning, by the way, didn't this worship team do a marvelous job this morning helping us celebrate and getting into the presence of God? I wasn't expecting. Now, Brother Mike gives me a lineup every week of the music, and I didn't look at it this week, so I wasn't expecting the Christmas songs, but I think it's a great way to get the month started celebrating Jesus. Amen. Look, you just can't get tired of singing, "Oh, come, let us adore him." That's why we're here. Amen. And so we are cultivating intimacy, relationship with him, because that is why he's here. Let's begin in Matthew chapter number 1. And I said this last week, and I'm going to try again this week. I'm going to try to stay in teaching mode today. I want us to get this information and know that how important it is for us all to walk every day with the understanding that God is among us. When you walk every day with the knowledge and the understanding that your Heavenly Father is with you, then you never feel alone. How many realize you're never alone? And sometimes this world can creep upon you and cause things to happen in your life, and the enemy can come against you, and even people can come against you to cause you to feel like you've got to traverse this life all alone. But listen, he came to be among us so that we are never alone, and he is faithful, and his presence is always with us. Can you say a good amen this morning? Beginning in verse number 20 of chapter 1 of Matthew. This is the episode in the life of Joseph when the angel is going to come and explain to him about Jesus being conceived in Mary. The Bible says, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" And verse number 21 goes on to say, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Notice this morning right away that at the very initial announcement of Jesus being born, the angel of God makes sure to inform Joseph the reason and the purpose of Jesus coming among his people. He says this very explicitly. The Bible says he will save his people from their sins. This is the reason why he came, the initial principal reason why Jesus made all of the supernatural moves necessary to go from a heavenly glory and existence into a baby in a manger so that he could save people from their sins. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus saves us from our sins? How many of you realize and remember what it was like to be forgiven by God? How many of you can remember what it was like in the world before you encountered Jesus in faith in him and go and went to him in repentance? Do you remember the life before Jesus versus the life after Jesus? Amen. And that means for us, when you're living the afterlife, you might as well call it the afterlife because, you know, you're going ahead. The Bible says when you believe in him, you shall live forever. Come on. Amen. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life. Amen. Thankful that he's forgiven us of our sins. It reminds me of the text in Matthew 18:11. Jesus teaching about his own purpose to his followers. In Matthew 18:11, here's what Jesus said. He explains it. He said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." Praise God. Amen. There are always going to be some lost people. The truth of the matter is, statistically speaking, there's some lost people probably in here today. But let me just tell you right now, you don't have to leave here the same way you came in. If you came into the house this morning trudging through life and struggling and wanting to know where real meaning and significance is going to come from, it's not going to come from the world or anything that you've been trying. It's going to come from going to the source of life. And he is among us. Why? Because people everywhere are separated from their Heavenly Father due to sin and compromise, due to the darkness of this world. He's here among us, children of God, because there was and there still is no shortage of sheep, precious people who are striving through their daily lives, seeking for that significance that gives meaning to their life, trudging through aimlessly, really without the peace of God that comes from a relationship with their Heavenly Father. This is what we call the human condition. People are born in this condition, and then they spend their lives trying to find how to redeem themselves and how to feel differently. And they spend all of their time trying to relate to something to help them feel meaningful and significant in this life. But church, here's the deal. Jesus came to remedy this human condition. This is the reason why he came. He is among us to be this final, once and for all sacrifice for our sin, our shame, our guilt, and that separation of men and women that sin accomplishes in our life. Because it's sin and darkness that separate us from being eligible to relate to our Heavenly Father. And Jesus came on the scene in Mary's manger for the purpose of living a sinless life, going and dying on the cross and sacrificing his life so that we could be reconciled back into a right relationship with God. It's his purpose. Let's understand that God is among us for these reasons. So that every one of us and every person with an ear to hear and to receive his message of hope can be reconciled back to God by simple faith and belief. That's why he's here. So God is among us for these great reasons. You know, this is particularly important for believers, for me and you today, members of Christ's body, to always keep in the forefront of our lives, our thinking, as we worship and serve alongside each other. We've got to keep this concept in our hearts and in our minds that Jesus came to save people from their sins. He came to seek and save that which is lost. Why is it so important for us to make sure we keep this in our central focus as we live, worship, and serve every day? Because we are vulnerable to get our eyes off of the main purpose of why we are born again. Sometimes we need to be reminded that we got to step up and remember, especially during Christmas season and other holiday seasons like this, where there are so many distractions around in life. We've got to be remembered, man and woman of God, to keep the main thing the main thing. We got to keep the main thing the main thing. Sometimes we have a hard time basing our lives on the simplicity of Christ's mission. We might make our Christian service, our worship, and even at times, everything that we do in life about something other than this awesome truth about the Lord, that his purpose for being born in Mary's manger was firmly rooted in the mission to locate lost people and do whatever he had to do to save them and get them back to God. It's vital. It's absolutely vital that you and I understand that this season is more than about busy, expensive shopping trips. This season is more than about getting together with family and celebrating. It's more than giving gifts. It's more than getting presents. In my life, I can't speak this over you, but for my life, I need to be reminded that it's more than eating too much. Because I guarantee you, Miss Karen is going to make some peanut butter cookies with walnuts and things in them, like she did last night. I hope she hid them. Because they're going to be gone by Wednesday. Don't know how. We've got to make sure that all of this stuff doesn't get in our face, doesn't rob us of the opportunity to live with his mission, his purpose, his presence in our life every day. Because he's here to commune with us. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that he loves us and he's here to relate to us every single day. He's here to be close enough to us that we never feel alone in this life. He's here to be faithful, to be that friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's here among us to provide us with the power and the presence and the provision of God every day and in all that we need. And if we get our eyes off of the purpose of Christ, I'm going to give you a good example right here very, very quickly to how this is made practical in our lives. Let me speak to husbands for just a moment. Because it's vital for husbands and wives to be grounded in the presence of God. I'm going to say that one more time. It's absolutely vital for all of us. If you're married, how many husbands we got in here? Come on. Y'all ain't real proud about it, man. Let me tell you. Hey, come on now. If you're a husband, listen closely. I'm just using you as an example today. Man, we need the presence of God every day. All the wives just said a good amen in their hearts. They're like, yeah, he needs something. We need the presence of God every day in our families and our marriages. Husbands, here's what the Word of God says, something very, very peculiar. We're to duplicate his nature in our marriage, guys. Sometimes we don't realize this. Scripture gets quite real with us about the fact that in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, it says this in verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Guys, he is among us. He is making himself available to us every day because he wants us to represent him and his nature right in our homes, in our marriages, to our wives. We need to see this. You're not alone in your marriage. I know it feels like you are sometimes, but you're not alone. He is among us men to relate to us, to influence us, to love as he loves. In fact, if you've ever wondered what the standard really is, guys, for loving your wife, here it is. If you believe the word of God and want to do what it says, the Bible says, just love her like Jesus loves her. Let me build some strength in us today. He is among us to help us and influence and show us how to pull that off. Because Ephesians 5 tells us how to create that perfect symbiotic relationship, that spiritual relationship that is marked by the identity of the Word of God to create wholeness and health and relatability within our homes and our marriages. Jesus is here for you guys. He says, you know what? I want you to love her like I love her. And not only that, he goes on to say this. He said, love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. There's the wives right there. Come on. Gave yourself for your wife. This doesn't work if you're not close to God and you're not relating to him on a daily basis and really receiving his influence in our life. It doesn't work. See, if you're only doing your thing in your marriage, guys, you're not being influenced by Jesus, you're not going to have the kind of success and the kind of influence in your family and within your home that you would have if you wake up every day of your life, put your feet on the floor and realize, hey, God is with me today. I'm not called to love her because it's easy or love her because she's able to produce enough of my preferences or to make me happy. I'm called today to love her like Jesus loved her. And that I'm just using this as an example. Anybody getting this right here? I'm just going to love her like Jesus said, love her. And that means love her sacrificially, love her the way he loves, and love her to the point where her life, it means more to me than my life. Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, what did Jesus give for his bride? Y'all getting anything? What did Jesus give? What all did he give? He gave everything, didn't he? He lived in ways that demonstrates to you and I. He came among us to show us that we were more important to him than his own life was to him. That's why you can trust him today. He's among us so that his peace will reign in our life. His training, his influence, his leadership will reign in our life, and we will be effective in duplicating his loving nature to the people around us. And that always begins right in the home. Everybody say the home. Please hear me this morning. He's not just among us at church, and man, how we feel his presence in here. He's not just among us at church. He's among us in our homes and in our workplaces and in the marketplaces. And I see a lot of kids in here today. He's among you kids at school, and he'll use you. Amen, guys. Come on. Let's commit today. Let's make a commitment today to renew our dedication to the mission of Jesus, to be focused on seeking and saving those precious and hurting people who are lost without hope in God. This is why he came. These are the reasons why he came and why he's among us even now. And as his body, we can never, ever make our mission something different than his mission. We've got to be about the Father's business. Amen. Thank God. Real quick, let's finish this text from Matthew. I'm going to show you five amazing truths about Jesus today before we go. Matthew 1:22, read along with me. So all this was done so that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying this, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God with us. I've always been intrigued by this incredible little story. This story of how God chose this mysterious young woman for no other reason, the Bible says, than she found favor with God. And he selected Mary to bring forth the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus, into the world so that God could be among his people. Jesus began that earthly existence through the most awe-inspiring miracle you can read about. He was born to a virgin. By the way, I said this in the early service. I think it means, it's good to say again, concerning the virgin birth, this is a non-negotiable doctrine of the church. You may hear debate and you may hear ideas in our world today trying to discredit this teaching about Jesus. But listen, when you hear that, go ahead and just rebuke it and get it out of your mind, because Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. I don't care what the world says or what the liberal theologians say or what anybody else tries to tell you. We stand firm and stand strong on the word of God that Jesus Christ was born to a virgin. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. Y'all get with me now. And he came to be among his people because Mary was chosen, and she was chosen by God because no other reason. He found favor with her. So I want to quickly show you five quick things about Jesus. Five amazing truths about Jesus. Here we go. We're going to John chapter 1 in verse 1, and we'll look at my favorite Christmas scripture. In the beginning, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's in the beginning. That's way back in Genesis 1:1, right? So we established right now that Jesus didn't just begin in Mary's manger. He began way back in the day, right? Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. There it is. Verse number 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Verse number 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Thank God. So that brings me this morning in this teaching to amazing truth about Jesus, number 1, and here it is. Jesus is eternal. Come on, everybody say it with me. Say, Jesus is eternal. Notice it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. What does that mean for us today? It means you can be confident that Jesus' life in action began before Mary's manger. That he was the most influential figure in the creation history while he lived on this earth. And you can be confident that he will be coming back again to establish his kingdom on this earth. And the Bible says that of his government, there will be no end. He is eternal. Why can you be sure of all that? Because Jesus came to us. He was present with God in the beginning. That reminds us that he knows no limits. He's not bound by things like our understanding binds us. Time does not control him. He isn't bound by the things that we're bound by. Even the physical scientific properties that restrict you and me, those things don't even apply to the Lord. Come on. See, he was with God in the beginning. He was there. He was and is the Word of God. He was and is with God, and he was and is God. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus is eternal. Amen. Amen. Number 2, very quickly, the truth about Jesus, amazing fact. Here it is. Just don't miss this. Jesus is the one who made everything. He made it all. Jesus made everything. Verse 3 said, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. All things. You can look around at the beauty of creation and see something everywhere, but you're not going to find anything in the beauty of creation that was not made personally by Jesus. He was the agent of creation that was spoken when God said back in Genesis, let there be. It was Jesus that went forth and made it be. And it was Jesus who traversed the universe and created all things that have ever been made. He made the river. He made Mobile Bay. He made the mountains out in Wyoming. He cut the rivers and the lakes. God made it all. Come on, somebody. We need to understand that Jesus himself was the creator. In other words, when you and I hear about the debates in secularism and human secularism and humanism today that are so prevalent, you're going to hear these things talking about the debate between natural selection or intelligent design. Listen, if you hear a debate about intelligent design, let me go ahead and end that debate before you right now. Jesus is the intelligence that designed everything. Come on. Facts about our Lord. He's among us. You can call him the great designer this morning because he designed it all. He's the designer. Come on, somebody say, he's the designer. Amen. He's the intelligence that designed it all. He had you in mind, by the way. He designed you too. Amen. While you're in your mother's womb, he designed you. Amen. Scripture says he knew the number of hairs on your head. Aren't you glad about that? He's the designer. Number 3. Jesus is the life giver. The life giver. Everybody say life giver. He's the life giver. We live in a world and a time when people are in a serious search for real life. And the enemy of God and the world, they're doing everything they can do to remove the concept of Christ and even man's need of redemption by the Lord. They're infiltrating the colleges. Infiltrating homes, infiltrating society with the idea that God is a myth, that God isn't real, that mankind can save himself. There's a big problem with that because the longer mankind searches for significance and meaning within himself and through things in this life, the more empty he or she becomes. And you're never going to find what you're looking for until you go to the source of life. You're not going to find contentment. You're not going to find peace. You're not going to find forgiveness or salvation. You're not going to find what you're looking for until you forget about everything else being your source, no matter what it is. For some people, it's money. For some people, it's other folks. Whatever it is. For some people, they pour themselves into their job, or they're trying to get significance about doing this or doing that. Listen, it's all going to be a dead end, because you know what? They can't give you what they didn't create or provide for you. He's the only one who created life. He's the only one, your word says, is the light of life, and that life was the light of men. He is the source of all life. He's the one who gives life, because he's the life, and he is the light of all men. Come on, somebody who knows somebody about it, say a good amen right now. Aren't you glad? Real quick today, I'm almost finished. Amazing truth about Jesus, number four, he really is God among us. He really is. This brings me to my favorite Christmas scripture of all. John chapter 1 and verse 14. Doesn't look like a traditional Christmas scripture, but here's what it says. In verse 14, it says this: and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Did y'all know that's what happened at Easter, at Christmas? Amen. I almost said Easter. No, that's the Christmas story in one scripture. When Mary gave birth, really when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, because an embryo is just as much flesh and just as much life as a newborn baby. Amen. The Word became flesh. This is exactly what transpired on that night in Bethlehem. It was more than a random child being born to a virgin girl named Mary. It was more than wise men, more than a manger, more than camels standing around, more than gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When Jesus was born, it was the Son of God transitioning from one state of glory, putting on an earth suit so that he could experience everything that you and I experience in this life. And in that way, guys, he endured, the Bible says, all temptations, all pain and suffering. And yet, while enduring temptations and pain and suffering, the amazing thing about Jesus is this: as a human, born just like you and I were born, he endured it all, yet he maintained his perfection and his sinless life. That's why you and I, the Bible says, have a high priest who can be touched and we can relate to him. Because when he overcame sin and when he conquered death, every person can believe and by faith right now be reconciled to God because of what Jesus did. This is why he came to be among us. It was Jesus moving from his heavenly position as designer, as overseer of life, into his other role. His other role was the slain Lamb of God. He came to suffer and be slain for the sacrifice of sin, of all mankind. That's why he's among us. He became God among us. And finally, today, amazing truth number five, and here's where we want to land, is this right here. It says it in verse 14, Jesus is full of grace and truth. He's full of grace and truth. He's not halfway grace and truth. He's full of it. I thought about this week. It means this. He came to give grace to people. He's full of grace. Here's what it means. It means he doesn't run out. Aren't you glad he doesn't run out? I'm glad that he had enough grace for me to save my life. But then when I needed another chance, he had enough grace to give me a second chance. How many realize he's the God of second chances? He's got enough grace for you to go ahead and give you that third chance you're going to need. Come on, somebody. Or maybe you're a little bit like me in my life. Maybe you're just so thankful that he has so much grace that he doesn't run out. He's got enough grace for your fourth and your fifth chance. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? How many of you? God doesn't run out of chances. Here's the issue. Just like we were singing earlier, God doesn't run out. He's never going to be against you. He's always going to be for you. It means this: whatever you have experienced, he has grace for that. And whatever you've done, he has grace for that. He's among us. Watch this, and we're closing, to be the distributor of grace. in your life. Come on, somebody. If you believe it today, give him a big praise right now and stand up with me all over the house.